The reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Do you remember the children's nursery rhyme that used to be said with interlocking fingers about the church? Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, here are the people. There was a second verse too that went, here's the vicar going upstairs and here he is saying his prayers. It always seemed to me that that vicar preferred his own company and was climbing the steps of his church tower just to get away from his congregation. But back to the first verse, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, here are the people. It's quite poignant at the moment, and perhaps especially today, Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church, and yet today, in thousands and thousands of churches, open the doors, no people. It's just me here. During lockdown, I've been preaching from a variety of unusual places, my allotment, my shed, Donington Castle, and today I'm preaching from another unusual place, a church pew. Many, many sermons have been listened to from these pews, from this pew, but perhaps until today, not a single one has been preached from a pew, from this place. The experience of lockdown has been an opportunity for us to think through the importance of place in our Christian faith. Is there such a thing as a holy place? A place where God is more appropriately or more easily worshipped? A place where he mostly meets with us? What difference has it made that currently we can no longer gather in this place, this sacred space that has been consecrated, set aside for worship for 500 years and more? Well, Pentecost is a very good time to think through these questions. And I want to think them through and look through that first reading from the book of Acts under two headings: holy people and holy fire. Firstly, holy people. In the reading from Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the first believers were, we read, all together in one place. Well, lucky them. However, something happened in that place that transformed the Christian understanding of holy places, the giving of the Holy Spirit. To put it starkly, and here's, if you like, the headline, from this point on, there are no longer holy places. Only holy people. Throughout the Old Testament, there are a number of important places where individuals encounter God, and having met him, met with him, they mark that place as holy. They put up a stone, they build an altar, they remember the place, and they return to it. Think of Jacob and his dream of a ladder ascending up to heaven, at the place that he then named Bethel, meaning house of God. Think of Mount Sinai, where Moses And then the whole people of Israel met with God and received the law from the mountain. And the supreme example, of course, is Mount Zion, where Jerusalem was located and where the temple was built. And right at the center of it, the Holy of Holies, where the very glory of God dwelt, the holiest place on earth. But in the ministry of Jesus, and through his promised baptism with the Holy Spirit, there is no longer a focus on the importance of special places where God can be encountered. Jesus said that in his conversation with the Samaritan woman, if you remember it. He said, Samaritans say you should worship God on that mountain. Jews say on this mountain. But a time is coming, says Jesus, when true worship will be in the spirit and in truth. Jesus himself becomes the place where we encounter God. He is the truth. And incredibly, his people, that's us if we're his followers, become the dwelling place of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says to the Corinthians, you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives among you. There are no longer holy places, only holy people. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Of course, our church buildings, this church building is an important, a precious place where we encounter God, especially where we encounter him together. That's what we miss most at the moment. And for most of us, there are other places, not necessarily buildings, which are important in our own personal story of faith, places that have a special peace for us, or where we've met with God in a significant way or at a significant moment in our lives. That may be a church or another building. It may be the place where you became a Christian. It may be a hillside where you made an important decision and committed it to God in prayer. We might sometimes call these special places holy, but that's only in a secondary sense. The ministry of Jesus, culminating in the giving of the Holy Spirit, means that there are no longer holy places, only holy people. You could say that every place has the potential to be a holy place, and that's true. And I hope we have experienced that in a new way during these lockdown Sundays. Our sitting rooms have become sanctuaries, our kitchen table, our church. But actually, it's even more than that. God lives not in places, but among his people. People who for all our many, many failings have been made holy through being washed clean through the work of Jesus on the cross and filled with his Holy Spirit. The presence of God. Holy people. That's the first thing. Secondly, holy fire. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was symbolized by fire. Verse 3 of Acts 2, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each of them. And that reminds us of one of the great holy places in the Old Testament, the great meetings with God. I've already mentioned it, Mount Sinai, where Moses met with God on its slopes for the first time. And in that encounter, God was revealed as fire. If you remember, he calls to Moses from a burning bush, which though it burns, is not consumed. He calls Moses, Moses. And then when Moses walks towards him, God says, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. It's an interesting sequence of instructions from God. He says to Moses, come here, and then stand back. Draw near, but no further. And in many ways, this message is repeated throughout the Old Testament, in all of the places where people meet with God. Come close, but not too close. It summarizes the central problem of the Old Testament, which is how can unholy people, like you and me, be safe in the presence of a holy God who is fire? And the temple and the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament day after day were a partial but a temporary way of solving that problem. But in Jesus's once for all sacrifice on the cross for our sins, the problem is resolved. With our sins forgiven, taken away, we're able to draw near to God, right near to God, without fear. But at Pentecost, we see this truth in an even more amazing way. The gift of the Spirit is fire, holy fire. The God who once said from a burning bush, come close, but not too close, now comes to dwell within us. He comes to burn within us and yet not consume us. You and I can be on fire with God, the presence and power of God within us. One of the nightmares for any vicar, or at least this vicar, is to have someone ring in the middle of the night and say, your church is on fire. Before we renewed the lighting in this church, when the electrics had been condemned, there was always this little fear, this little niggle at the back of my mind. When Joy and I take turns over the summer to go on holidays with our families, when we get back, we phone the other, everything okay? The church hasn't burned down, has it? Think last year of the fire in Notre Dame Cathedral, consuming the ancient roof. But in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we can encounter the living God. And he comes to us by his Holy Spirit as holy fire, his very presence burning within us. In that sense, we should be able to say of this church, of this people, us, although hopefully not the fire brigade at 2 a.m. in the morning, St. Nick's is on fire. We long to be able to say this more, to allow God to burn more brightly within us. At the end of this sermon, in just a minute, we're going to listen to a recording of the song, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. It's an instrumental played by Nick Cope on the piano. And as it plays, we're going to see the pictures that people have sent in, the colouring in of their Holy Spirit flames. We gave out details last Sunday. Thank you to everyone who sent them in. And as you watch, I want you to think, holy people, holy fire. And pray. Pray for the people you see. Pray for all of us. Pray for yourself. Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here. He burns with holy fire. As I finish, I want to share a personal prayer and give a personal challenge. The personal prayer. In my morning prayer times, I almost always pray this prayer. It's a short set prayer. It's part of the Church of England morning prayer. It goes like this. As I give thanks for the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set my heart on fire with love for you. I pray it almost every day, but it's an especially good prayer for Pentecost. And to finish with a personal challenge, Humanly speaking, Pentecost would never have happened if the first Christians had not been obedient to Jesus' command to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. They could have scattered. They could have got on with their lives, back to normality, back to reality. The temptation must have been huge to do that after Jesus had left them. Those 11 days between Ascension and Pentecost. But they chose to obey, to stay, and to wait. What does that mean for you? To stay and to wait for the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Pray about it. As they waited together in one place, holy fire from heaven fell upon them and made them God's holy people, so that in every place they might be a people filled with the presence and the power of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. Renew the face of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless.